Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. For those of you, if this is the first time you're with us, we're in a series on the laws of the harvest. And, you know, whenever you stop and think about harvest and harvest time, some of you probably already put out some gardens and you're looking and seeing, and it's not going to be long before you get some fruit out of that harvest. Or maybe you planted some early onion sets and, you know, you've already fixed some soup beans and cornbread, and now you can have a little onion to go with it because it's close to harvest time. Well, there is something always special about springtime and summertime because of the laws of the harvest. Well, not only does it hold true in the physical world that you and I live in when it comes to crops, but it refers to every other aspect of our life. And in these two passages of Scripture, Paul is giving every one of us some very strong encouragement to be careful and to be conscious what we sow. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, my life is my business. I can do with my life whatever I want. It's my life. It's my choice. Well, that may sound novel enough and may sound interesting enough, but the real truth about it is, if you're a child of God, no, that's not the truth. Your life does not belong to you. The Bible says you and I are bought with a price. We've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our life really belongs to the Lord God. And when you stop and think about it, you know, we need to be very conscious what we sow, because Jesus makes it clear that someday we're going to reap. Not only are we going to reap in this life, but we're going to reap in the life to come. And Jesus reminds us that He's going to be the one who's going to judge us. And so whenever you come to these passages of Scripture, you know, everything that you and I do is going to be evaluated by the Lord. But in this message this morning, I want us to look at the law of proportional reaping. Now, every one of us know what it is to sow and you know what it is to plant, but I want us to look very intently this morning when it comes to the law of God, when it comes to proportional reaping. And it may be very conscientious why you think about planting and sowing and in your own life, what you do with your life. So in Galatians chapter 6, 7, listen very carefully. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then if you'll flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Listen carefully. Let me read that last passage again. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What are you doing when it comes to your life? How are you living your life when it comes to this reality about the law of the harvest? I love the way the Amplified Bible puts it. And whenever you talk about Galatians 6, 7, listen to what it says. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatsoever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. Now, you and I have already looked at in this series, you know, we reap what we have sown. In other words, you can't reap something that you have not sown. And in your life, you may start wondering, why in the world are things happening in my life, positively or negatively? Well, it depends on what you've been sowing. What have you been giving away? And we looked about the fact that we reap in the same kind. You know, no farmer that I know of in his own mind will go out and plant some tomatoes and in that same spot expect potatoes to grow up. You know, he knows that if I'm going to get something, I've got to put that same thing down. So the Father wants you and me to understand that everything that we sow is going to come back. It's going to come back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's going to come back into our life. And before Paul penned verse 7, you know, Paul stated in verse 1, this same chapter, that those who are spiritual should respond in love to a person who's overtaken in a fault. And he also shares in verse 2 that we should bear one another's burden. Paul knew that whatever he gave away was going to come back to his life again. The Bible bears out everything you give away is going to come back to your life again. So, you know, it means positively and negatively. You know, we live in a world where people are wondering why things are happening to their life. All they have to do is oftentimes look at their life. Well, let's look at three particular aspects this morning, and I want you to follow along in your outline, because you and I need to understand the reality of proportional reaping. Now, the Bible makes it very clear what God says. God the Father does not want you and me to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be naive to the fact that whatever we sow away individually, as a family, as a church family, as a people of God, whatever we sow away is going to come back. As a matter of fact, Paul put it very simply, and I love the way he says it in verse 6. He said, "This I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Now, the word sparingly is a very interesting word, because the word sparingly really means stingily. In other words, if you sow stingily, and if you have a garden and you say, "Well, you know what, I can't afford too many seed, I can't afford too much fertilizer, I can't afford too much, triple 19, or, you know, I can't afford too much bug killer. I mean, I can't afford too much of that stuff." Well, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And you know, God wants you and me to understand that he has ordered his world by this law. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. And you think about a person who desires and they want more and more, and they want to have a lot of the blessings of God, and they want to have a lot of harvest. Well, the question that has to be asked is, what are you sowing? What are you sowing into other people's lives? And, just give you a couple of scenarios. You know, here's one farmer, and he's lazy and he's slothful. Oh, he's got a farm, but you look at that farm, and he's not been very diligent in plowing it and taking care of it. And when harvest time comes, you know, he's going to have something, because he's done something to the field and he's sown some things, but he's not going to have an abundance. You see, here's the reality in the Word of the living God. Whatever you and I sow, whatever we sow individually is coming back to us individually. Whatever we sow, give away as a church family, that's coming back to us as a church family. Whatever you sow as a family unit. You see, sometimes families wonder, and there are only God knows how many families in the world are living in a hellish mess, and it's because the dad's giving mom hell on earth, because mom's giving the children hell on earth. And, you know, whenever you give your family hell on earth, you're going to get back hell on earth. And children are being raised, and parents get a little bit older, and they're wondering what in the world is wrong with their children, what in the world is happening. Listen, it is found in the law of proportional reaping. Whatever you give away, it is coming back, and it's going to come back in proportion. And, you think about it, and you know, one way you can say it, the two farmers that I just used as an example, you know, one has a little energy that he expends, and one expends a lot of energy, and you really can put it this way. Little time, little energy, little sowing, little crop. And another way you can put it, you know, much time, much energy, much sowing, a large crop. And it happens whenever it comes to our personal life. And Paul says, I don't want you to be deceived. He said, God the Father does not want you to be deceived. Whatever you sow, whatever you give away, it's going to come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And you think about it a minute, and you think, you know, what happens when I sow more obedience in my life? Listen, when you sow more obedience to the Lord God, when you sow more obedience to follow his word and his will and his agenda, it is amazing what he does into and through your life, what he does in the life of a church. But let's just look at two or three things in this first principle. First of all, what's involved in the law of proportional reaping? Well, first of all, time is involved. Now, one of the things that you and I have to understand is this. You can't have anything healthy in life without it taking time. I know some people who want their children to grow up right. They want them to grow up. They want them to have the best, enjoy the best. They want them to be wonderful children. And they look at somebody over there and say, you know what? I want my child to be just like them. But here's what they must understand. If you're going to have wonderful children, you must spend time with your children. You cannot have wonderful children. You can't have, listen, children want one thing out of mom and dad. They want your time. Doesn't matter how many other things you give them, they want your time. I recall a preacher telling one time he was trying to do a little gardening, and he gave his son an assignment, and the dad went around the house, and come to find out, as he was around the house doing some more around maybe some of the flowers or some of the shrubs, whatever, his son was right behind him. Son just didn't want to really do a lot of gardening. He just wanted to be with his dad. If you're going to have a good harvest in your life, one of the things you and I have to understand is there must be time involved. Listen, how many times do you and I say, well, you know what? I don't have time. Now, I want you to listen. I pray the Spirit of God will not let you forget this. You refuse to spend time with your children. You refuse to spend time obeying the Lord. You refuse to spend time doing all those things. And you're going to find out that there's going to be a harvest someday, and you're not going to like what you experience. See, if you're going to have a proportional reaping, you have to understand that it involves you giving of your time. And you think about that farmer who has good crops and plenty of crops and large crops. What does it involve? It involves him getting out there early in the morning, spending his time. When nobody else is out there, he's out there. How do you have good, godly children? How do you have good, godly grandchildren? How does a church healthy when they spend time with one another? Listen, you don't ever find a healthy church, the people of God, unless they spend time with one another. And that's one thing, you're around us very long, we love to spend time with one another. Why? Because that's part of being a fellowship. That's part of being a family. That's part of us just enjoying one another. Listen, the Father loves a healthy church. Amen? And when there's a healthy church, what has to happen? We spend time with one another. We spend time being with one another. I know you, and you know me, and we know one another. And the Father is pleased because there is a body of Christ that they love being with one another. Have you ever been in a church, and don't you dare answer this out loud. You ever been in a church, and it's like they can't, they just enjoy getting in just as soon as it's 11 o'clock, and they can't stand being with one another any longer than 1 hour. Now think about it a minute. What joy is there going to be in eternity? And you see, one of the things about proportional reaping is time. And, you know, not only is time involved, but another aspect is energy. You know, in the law of sowing and reaping, here's what God demands. He demands energy. Now, let me ask you a question. When you hear the word work, what do you think about? You may be like that one fellow. He said, you know what, I'm not a bit afraid of work. I can lay down and sleep beside it any day of the week. Now, you know some people like that, don't you? And don't you name them. You know, they enjoy, listen, if you're going to have a good harvest, you have to do some work. If a church is going to be a healthy church, and if a church is going to do what God's called her to do, that church, it takes time, it takes work, it takes energy. You know, some people want to have all the blessings and want to have all the, but they don't want to put anything on the end of it when it comes to work. I recall a lady who was, and this is a true story, and somewhere in one of the southern states, and it was a beautiful sort of a mansion-type house, but it was an elderly lady who lived there, and out back there was a beautiful garden, rose garden and flower garden, and someone looked at her rose garden, flower garden, and said, ma'am, it just looks like that somebody just put waved a magic wand over this, you know, just waved a wand over the back of over your rose garden and flower garden. She said they did, and it had a hoe on the end of it too. Listen, work is involved. If you and I are going to experience the reaping, here's what has to happen. Any farmer knows this. You're not going to have an abundant harvest without some serious work being involved. And in your life, the same holds true. You know, no relationships, no healthy relationships between a husband and a wife. You know, there's a lot of couples that want to have a healthy relationship, but are you going to spend time with one another? Are you going to spend time just being together? You say, how do you have a healthy marriage? Let me tell you how to have a healthy marriage. Listen to me real carefully. I think I can say a little bit. You know, I've been there almost 30 years, and someone said, Charlotte, was it exactly 30? No, but we're closer to 30 than we are to 20. One of the joys of having a healthy marriage, listen, just being together. This morning, Charlotte and I went out on the porch, and we just sat out on the porch. She didn't say a word to me, and I didn't.